This is Alive with Joseph.
Let's get into scriptures this morning. Let's look at what the Holy Spirit has to say to us on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. I will start from the book of Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1 to 7. Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1 to 7. We're looking at the NIV translation. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, and you will die.'" Or you will die. "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eyes and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her. Take note of that. I will return back to that sentence. "And gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig trees together and made coverings for themselves. Amen and amen. The Lord bless his word. Amen. Friends, I'm not sure if you are aware of this, but one thing I want you to understand is that the Bible clearly shows to us that you and I have been engineered by God to excel. In other words, we are not made to be mediocres. We don't exist to be average. We have been crafted by our Creator in a way that brings glory to His holy name. And not just there, in a way also that it adds value to humanity. He adds value to our world. And one of the ways we accomplish this, bringing glory to God and adding value to humanity, is through excelling. When you and I excel, we're able to bring glory to God. We're able to add value to humanity. And I pray for you in this season, you will excel in the name of Jesus. I say you will excel in the name of Jesus. Our God is the God who excels. In the book of Psalm chapter 8, the psalmist calls him an excellent God. He is the excellent God. He is the God who excels in all that he does. He is God all by himself, and there is none like him. He does, the Bible says, exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. So God is an excellent God, and God has crafted and created you and I to excel. Now, this excellent God has made us also in his own image and likeness. And he dwells on our inside. And he doesn't only dwell on our inside, he empowers us to excel and to get to places and spaces that we would not have gotten to without him empowering us. He empowered us to get to places and spaces that are beyond human comprehension. He empowers us to get to places and spaces that goes beyond the limitations, that goes beyond the limitations of our human capacity. So God has empowered us to get to that level because of his power that is at work in us. He has also empowered us to be able to experience things we would not have been able to experience on our own without his empowerment. That is to say, God has created you and I to excel. He has crafted us to excel. We exist to excel. Therefore, I pray for you again in this season, you will excel in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. I say you will excel in the name of Jesus. In whatever you are doing, I prophesy you will excel in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. Also, it is important for us to note that one cannot excel in what they don't understand. You cannot excel in whatever you do not have an understanding on, because excelling requires understanding. To excel in sports, you must understand the sport you want to excel in. To excel in your work, you must understand the job. To excel in your finances, you must understand the state of your financial reality so that you can be able to excel. And also, to excel in relationship, you must understand the one you are relating to. To excel in relationship, you must understand the one you are relating into. King Solomon actually paints a very good picture for you and I in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7. He says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The NIV breaks it down this way. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, he said, get understanding. Though it cost you everything you have, he said, make sure you get understanding. I pray for you today. Let the grace to understand come upon you in the name of Jesus. May you gain understanding in issues of life in the name of Jesus. Why do you need to get understanding? Simply because you cannot excel in what you don't understand. You cannot excel in what you do not understand. You cannot excel in what you do not understand. I've come to discover that one of the weapons the enemy uses to disrupt our lives as believers is to hinder our ability to acquire understanding. One of the weapons that the enemy uses in this end time is to hinder the believer's ability to acquire understanding. The adversary knows that if he can keep you confused, he can keep you stuck. If he can keep you confused, he can keep you stagnant. If he can keep you confused, he can keep you stationary at one point. And I pray for you today, may you excel by understanding in the name of Jesus. I said the understanding you require to excel, let it come upon you in the name of Jesus. Let it rest upon you in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God expects us to excel, but you cannot excel without understanding. You cannot excel without understanding. The Bible actually tells us that our God is not the author of confusion. So that tells me anywhere there is confusion, the devil is present there. Any family there is confusion, Satan is resident there. And I pray any family that is going through a season of confusion, I expel that foul devil out of your household in the name of Jesus. I expel that confusion in the name of Jesus. You know, there are a couple of areas we should all constantly seek to understand. However, this morning, I'm going to attempt to increase our understanding of man. We need to explore man because man needs to be understood. Today is Father's Day. So I'm going to use this opportunity to enlighten us, to strengthen our understanding of man. We need to explore man. In my years of interacting with so many men, one thing I've heard consistently and silently being spoken by men, even without them verbalizing it, is that most men feel misunderstood. Most men feel misunderstood. I've lived quite a bit. At least I'm turning 50 years this year. And, you know, amen, God will bless you for that. God will bless you. Amen. Some are jealous because I'm turning 50. They are still in their 30s. You know, so the silent thing you hear most men say, you can see that they feel misunderstood. Most men feel misunderstood. A misunderstood man is an unheard man. And a man who is not heard is a man who doesn't feel listened to. And a man who doesn't feel listened to is a man that eventually will go silent. Ladies in this house, can I ask you a question this morning that I want you to reflect upon? Don't answer me, just reflect upon it. Are the men in your life silent? So this morning, we're looking at what I titled, have you silenced him? Have you silenced him? Are the men in your life silent? Are the men in your life feel misunderstood? Do they feel heard? Are you listening to them? Do you let them talk, or do you let him talk? Do you let him finish talking? Do you let him tell you what he is saying, or are you telling him what he should be saying? If a man doesn't feel heard, if he doesn't feel listened to, the man goes silent. If a man does not feel heard, he doesn't feel listened to, he goes silent. When you look at our text in the book of Genesis chapter 3, it gives us an insight into all of the things we are about to discuss this morning. It shows us and introduces us to the very first man who, you know, with the Bible name called Adam. Adam was the first man in the Bible. And how this man became silent. His silence gave birth to serious consequences that humanity is suffering today. When God created all that he created on the planet Earth on the sixth day, he created the male gender. He created man, the male gender, Adam. He looked at the male gender that he had created, Adam. He said, it is not good for him to be alone. That is to say, God's intention for creation cannot be accomplished just with the male gender alone. God's intention for creation can never be accomplished with the male gender alone. So God said, it is not good for Adam to be alone. So when God says, it is not good for man to be alone, he is not trying to say to us that every man needs a wife. That's not what God is trying to say. He is simply saying that humanity needs women. Humanity needs women. Humanity needs our world today will not be what it is today without women. Without women in our world will not be complete. Without women in our world, all kinds of chaos will be in our world today. Without women in our world, all kinds of confusion will exist in our world. So God knew that our world cannot function without women, so he introduced women to us. Let's give Jesus praise for the women. Let's celebrate the Lord for the women. Hallelujah. So Jesus, whilst he was here on earth, you will notice that he didn't have a wife. Why? God was trying to make it clear to us that him saying that it is not good for man to be alone, he's not trying to say to us that, you know, every man needs a woman. Actually, when he needs a wife. Actually, the Apostle Paul, if you notice, he never married. He never had a wife. There was a point in his teaching, he encouraged that if it is possible, stay unmarried. He says, stay unmarried like me. But again, he says, if it's not possible, make sure you're married. So that is God trying to make sure that you and I understand that when he says that it is not good for the man to be alone, he is not trying to say that every man needs a wife. He's not trying to say that every man needs a wife. So that scripture wasn't a mandate for marriage. God was simply saying that human species cannot accomplish what he has in mind without the female gender. Humanity needs women. Boys need their mothers. They need their aunts. They need their sisters. Husbands need their wives and their daughters. So after creating the male and female, now God took them, placed them in a garden called Eden. He placed them in a place called Eden. What is Eden? Eden is a place of unbroken fellowship and communion with God. So he placed them in a place of unbroken fellowship and communion with God. He then gave them an instruction. What was the instruction? The instruction was everything, every tree in the garden, they can eat from it except the one tree that is in the middle of the garden. Except for one tree. He told them they can eat from every tree except for one tree that is in the middle of the garden. Why did God do that? Because in his sovereignty, he could have not put the tree there. He could have actually removed the tree and not put the tree there. In his sovereignty, God should have actually made sure that the tree never existed. But he left the tree in the middle of the garden and told them, don't eat from it. Why did God do this? He was simply teaching them to be as human as they can. Why? Because you cannot be a fully functioning human being without the ability to live with restraint. You cannot be a fully functioning human being without the ability to live with restraint. If you are a human who have no restraint, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. God wants us to live with restraint. God wants us to understand that for us to manifest our full functioning humanity, that we must have the ability to live with restraint. God was teaching them as well that if they want to live the way he has intended for them to live, they can't touch everything they want to touch. That is to say, if you are going to experience God's best, listen, friends, you are going to be able, you have to be able to look at some things you like and decide you can't have it. You should be able to look at some things you like and you put a restraint on yourself and say to yourself, I cannot have this even though I like it. Why? Because God wants us to have restraint. And I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice who is not restraining themselves in one way or another. Let the hand of the Lord rest upon you. Let grace come upon you to live a life of restraint in the name of Jesus. Hear me, friends. You cannot experience God's best without freedom. And freedom is not revealed in your ability to say yes. Freedom is revealed in your ability to say no. Because if you cannot say no, you are really not free. If you cannot say, if there's no point in your life where you can say no to certain things, you are really not free. If they call you and say, let's go, and you cannot say no, you are not free. They text you and say, let's go, and you cannot restrain yourself and say no, you are really not free. And there are many people who cannot say no, and they think it's a good quality, but they do not know that it's a destructive quality to have. There must be, at some point in your life, you should be able to say no to certain things. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning, everybody. Celebrate the Lord. If you see it, if you like it, you see it, you like it, you can't, and you can't walk away from it, you are not free. You see it, you like it, you can't walk away from it, you are not free, because freedom is revealed in your ability to say no. So God was teaching Adam and Eve that. He was teaching them that because he wants them to be able to look at certain things and restrain themselves. Hallelujah. But somehow they missed it. Then there was a time, you know, they were all in the garden, fellowshipping and all of those things. Eve now was walking around the garden. The enemy showed up in form of a snake. They were in the garden. The enemy showed up in form of a snake. Now the enemy showed up, listen to this very carefully. The enemy showed up looking like he belonged. Because it is not strange to find a snake in the garden. Remember that God created all the animals, including the snake. The snake was not created by the devil, in as much as the devil uses it as an expression for himself. The devil uses it to express himself often. But the snake was not created by the devil. The snake was created by God. So, you know, he showed up looking like he belonged. He didn't look out of place. He looked like everybody else. Understand that animals were all around the whole place. They were all around. So the snake, you know, a snake in the midst of all the animals didn't look out of place. Listen, friends, if the devil had showed up looking out of place, Eve would probably not have had engaged him in a conversation. He came looking like he belonged. Sometimes the enemy masquerades himself around us. That is why, as a believer, one of the greatest gifts of the spirit you must have is the gift of discernment. Being able to unmask the enemy when the enemy masks himself, pretending to belong when he truly doesn't belong. And the ability to be able to discern. The reason why some believers get into issues is because they cannot discern. Believers get into wrong marriages, wrong relationships, because they cannot discern. Believers get into business deals with wrong business partners because they cannot discern. The snake appeared not looking out of place. If he had appeared as something else God didn't create, Eve would not have had a conversation with him. I pray for you today. Whatever is masquerading itself around your life, I remove the cover in the name of Jesus. As I remove the cover in the name of Jesus, any enemy that have sneaked into your life as a friend, I prophesy, be delivered in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your highest praise if you believe that. Give Jesus praise. So understand that the enemy didn't make Eve eat from the tree. Listen, the enemy didn't make Eve eat from the tree. The enemy influenced her to make the decision herself to touch what God says shouldn't be touched. The enemy does not have power over our will. The same way God doesn't have power over our will. The enemy doesn't make you do anything. He influences you. He influences you. He influences you. When someone said, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. He just influenced you. You made the decision. And I pray for everyone here, whatever demonic influence is making you make wrong decisions and choices that is destroying your life, I deliver you today in the name of Jesus. I set you free in the name of Jesus. So the enemy seduced her, influenced her to make a decision that destroyed her. She touches, takes, eats, and proceeded to give some to her husband, and he eats as well. I want to show you something in Genesis chapter 3 verse 6. You know, this is where my present self disagrees with my past. Because, listen, if your present self, I said this earlier in the two services, if your present self doesn't disagree with your past self, it means you're not growing. Sign of growth is you being able to look at yourself now and look at some dumb things you've done 5 years ago and say, ah, Mara, why did you do this? Where you disagree with yourself and say, ah, and you give God praise for his mercy that has preserved you. Amen. So this is where my present self disagrees with my past self. You know, because growth has happened. You know, I've preached that passage. You know, I've preached leadership out of that passage, man. That where was Adam? Adam, where were thou? When Eve was eating the Adam. Oh, you know, I taught mentorship from this. Adam, I said Adam didn't mentor his wife properly, allowing her to eat the fruit she was not supposed to eat. All that was in my past argument until the Lord showed me this. Genesis 3 verse 6. When the woman saw, follow me carefully as I read. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was where? So that means Adam was not absent. He was with her. She took and gave some to her, to him who was with her, and he ate it. You know, the Bible story painted for us so many years ago is, you know, in my mind, it looked like, you know, Adam went to Mall of the North and left the wife at home. So by the time he came back, you know, Eve had already eaten. So he now said, take. Is that not the picture most of you have? Please be honest with me. That's the picture most of us have. But that's not what the picture the Bible paints for us. The Bible makes it clear that Adam was there because there was no Mall of the North anywhere. Adam was not going anywhere. They were in the Garden of Eden. It was a place of unbroken fellowship and communion with God. So there was nowhere he was going. So he was present in the place. So the issue was not that Adam was absent. The issue was Adam was silent. Because it is one thing for a man to be present. It is another thing for a man to be present and vocal. Most men are present, they are not vocal. Most men are present, they are silent. Most men are present, they have been silenced. Adam's issue wasn't absence. Adam's issue was he wasn't vocal. He was a silent man. I ask again, ladies, are the men in your life silent? Have you silenced them? So before we criticize Adam, let's ask ourselves some questions before we get to start insulting him. Let's attempt to understand this man. Why was Adam silent? Are we assuming that there was no attempt on Adam's part to try to talk Eve out of taking from the tree that God said they shouldn't take from? The text doesn't say that, but can our imagination this morning contemporize this conversation? You know, let's paint a picture. Is it good to paint a picture? Can we paint a picture? Let's paint a picture. You know, let's bring the scripture to the modern day. Let's contemporize it. Let's paint a picture for ourselves. If it was 2025, June 2025, and Adam has messed up, he was sitting outside the garden. And I see him. I can see he has been battered, messed up. You know, the whole decision, everything, confusion everywhere. And I walked up to Adam. And I said, bro, what happened? How did you guys get to this point? Adam will have said, bro, is this woman? She crazy, man. She crazy. Eve is crazy. You know how she is. She doesn't listen to anybody. Bro, I got to the garden before her. God blessed me here before. But since she came into the garden, she's running all over the place, causing confusion, trying to control everything. You can't even tell her anything. She's crazy, man. I can imagine Adam saying, bro, this woman is crazy. She's walking all over the garden, walking all over me. I can imagine Adam saying, Eve is crazy. I saw her talking to the serpent. I tried stopping her, and she said to me, you can't choose friends for me. Does that sound like anybody? No, it's not you. You can't choose my friends for me. I saw her interacting with her ex. She said, no, you can't tell me who to interact with. Mm-hmm. Preach with me. So I saw her, you know, bro, she crazy, man. She's sick, she crazy. I saw her walking towards the tree. I called out her name. Eve, where are you going to? Why are you going to the tree? She looked at me and said to me, I cannot control her. She said to me, why are you screaming at me like that? You're screaming, you're screaming, you're screaming. If Eve was the modern day South African woman, you can't control me. You can't tell me what to do. I can't submit to any man. I'm the boss of myself. I could imagine Adam frustrated because the woman refused to live with restraint. You're buying another pair of shoes. Can't you see that the savings is depleted? You can't tell me anything. Is it not also my savings? I can imagine Adam, bro, wow, what happened? She said, when I called her out, she said, stop screaming my name that loud. I'm not your slave. I am your wife. I'm a grown woman. I can walk around this garden and touch any tree anyhow I like. So stop trying to control me. Does that sound like you? No, it's not you. So Adam was silent because he was silent. And because he was silent, rather, you and I are in trouble today. His silence has affected us. This is my hypothesis on this issue. I believe Adam said to himself, I'd rather deal with the consequences of eating the fruit than get into a conflict with Eve. So even though I know this decision is not good, is not to the interest, to the best interest of our family, but for the sake of peace, I'm just going to eat it. Because he knew that I know that God will forgive me, but Eve will never forgive. 10 years down the line, when I miss it, she will still remind me. Remember that thing you did? That thing, I will have gone. It's my father who told me to stay. Behave yourself. He knew. So he rather deals with the consequence of disobeying God because he was afraid to get into a conflict with his wife, Eve. So the man was silent, even though he was present. When men are silent, the family suffers. When men are silent, the children suffers. When men are silent, the home suffers. When men are silent, the church suffers. When men are silent, our community suffers. When men are silent, our nation suffers. When men are silent. So the enemy wants to silence men on the things that don't matter so that they don't have to speak up on the things that do matter. The enemy wants to steal their voice. I pray for every man whose voice has been stolen. Let there be a restoration in the name of Jesus. The enemy wants to steal their voice. So men are being trained to act like their needs don't matter. They are being trained to act like they don't feel pain. But hear me, friends, you and I must remove the silent button on men. We must remove men from the flight mode we have put them in. Because when we remove the silent button from a man, do you know what happens? You unlock his potential. You are able, you enable him rather, to step into his best self. You enable him. The reason why most men are not stepping into their best self is because the women around them have silenced them. Imagine if you have a pastor who has been silenced. It would have been, I'm assistant pastor, she is chief pastor. But thanks be to God, you have a pastor who was not silenced by the wife. The wife allowed him to unlock his potential. Give Jesus praise, please. Allowed him to unlock his potential. Understand that humans can only be our, we can only be our best when our needs are met. I'm talking about both male and female. We can be our best when our needs are met. And our needs can only be met when they are heard. So today I'm standing here to speak on the behalf of many men. Some things they have been wanting to say, particularly the men in this house. I cannot speak for every other man out there, but the men in this house, the men under my leadership, to be able to speak on their behalf on this Father's Day. Because when we understand them better, we will be able to serve them better. And I want to share with you three things that Adam might say if he was present, if he was not silent. If the flight mode button was turned off from Adam, if the silence button was turned off, three things that I believe Adam will be saying, which the present day man also is trying to communicate. If Adam was not silent, there are things he would have loved to say. Number one, Adam would have said, I am male, not female. I am a man, I'm not a woman. I am male, not female. What does this mean? In the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, the Bible said, it is not good for a man to be alone. He will make a helper suitable for him. So God observed the need for another gender for humanity because he knew that there is something the human race needs that cannot be accomplished by a male gender only. So God made someone completely different because humanity needed someone different. Listen, friends, men and women are not the same. We are not the same emotionally. We are not the same physically. We are not the same mentally. Our bodies are not the same. Our brains are not the same. Men don't think like women. They don't feel like women. They don't respond like women. And men certainly don't talk like women. Hallelujah. So at some point, sisters, hear my heart. Hear my heart this morning. At some point, as a sister, as a woman, you will have to ask yourself this honest question. Which is it that you're looking for? Do you really want a man or do you want a male version of yourself? You will have to decide. Because the first thing a man does, a woman does when a man walks into her life is to change. That's that your instinct kicks in to change. I want to change the way he dressed. I want to change the way he wears. I want to change. I want to change. I want to change. I want. Hey, hold on. Wait. So you need to ask yourself, am I looking for a man or do I want a male version of myself? And if you want a male version of yourself, just marry yourself and stop praying for marriage. Stop claiming the five suits I have. The five suits I have is for women. Who want to marry a man, not women who are looking for male version of themselves. Give Jesus praise. When I finish, sisters, you take me for lunch because I'm giving you free nuggets to walk in victory. You buy me lunch this afternoon. All of you, you line up and buy me lunch. It's Father's Day. Hallelujah. What are you looking for? Are you looking for a male version of yourself? You want to change everything. You want to change everything. That is always the first thing, to change everything. I want to change. You change everything. Change everything. And, one of the bone of contention is always, they want to change his friends as well. These are friends he has been with from childhood. Then you rock up from nowhere. You want to easily delete everybody. Even change his mother, if it's possible. His brothers, you change. Sisters, you change. You're changing everything. Yes, am I saying that a man should not leave his friends? It should be a gradual process. Gradual process. Where, by the reason of relationship, he sees a need to hang out with you more than with his friends. Check it. Anywhere ladies have tried to change their husband's friends, you have never succeeded, if you must be honest with yourself. That's a difficult venture to get into. You can't succeed. But when, by relationship, like, now, my friend, my wife is my best friend. I don't have any friend anywhere. My wife, my best friend. I have a pastor friend, Pastor Paul in Joburg. We call, from time to time, And even when I'm talking and my wife is present, I don't answer calls inside the car. No, there's no friend like that. No. We're talking and my wife is, There's no special call. I must answer somewhere different. Amen. Stop answering those kind of calls. Stop putting yourself in bondage. I'm telling you, this life is good to live free. Stop putting yourself. There's no call. call, I go to the corner to go and answer. You know, I have emergency driving to the garage. It doesn't exist. Amen. Glory to God. Give Jesus praise this morning. Amen. Because friends, it is one thing to agree with the concept of us being different. It is also another thing to embrace that practically. Because when you don't embrace it practically that we are different, what ends up happening is you can demonize the difference. You can demonize the difference. And many women are demonizing the difference of their husbands or of the male in their lives. Friends, have you noticed also that, you know, a woman being her organic self is appropriate and acceptable by the society? Have you noticed? They say she's expressing herself. She's release. Yeah, release. But when the man becomes his organic self, all of a sudden, we demonize it. When the man becomes his organic self, he requires adjustments. When the man becomes his organic self, society says he needs adjustments. But when the woman becomes her organic self, we say she's being free. She's expressing herself. She's expressing herself, you know. You know, ladies must express themselves. Hallelujah. So when Adam said he is a male, not female, what that simply means was, number one, Adam had male words. He was simply saying, you know, my words are not the same like your own. Some research was done some time ago, even though it is still being contested. But the research shows that women speak 20,000 words a day, while men speak about 7,000 words a day. What a gap. 20,000 to 7. That's quite a lot. Amen. He's even said 50,000. I go with your own research. 50,000 a day. So many words. That is why when there's a conflict and, you know, people are called to mediate, have you noticed they take the side of the woman even if the woman is wrong? Why? Because she has spoken so many words. Then she adds some tears. Then you're finished. You're gone. Nobody's interested. Nobody wants to hear you. Nobody wants to know if you were wrong or right. Just, she spoke those words, spoke. She now sees that she's running out of words. She now adds some tears. You're finished. In fact, the police will collect you first. They will ask questions later. You're gone. She may be at wrong. She may be the one wrong. But you end up becoming the one wrong. Because women have 20,000 words. A man just has 7,000. So he's struggling. Another study found out that women between the ages of 25 and 64 years, they speak about 3,000 words more, 3,000 words per day than men in the same age group. Why am I referring to all of this? It's simply because sometimes it is not that a man doesn't want to talk. It's just that he has used up all his words. He has run out of words. So men, let me give you the key. Save your words sometimes. Don't finish everything. Save some. So that when you need it, you will have something to say. Number two, Adam will have said there is also a male focus. It is said that women can do so many things all at the same time. And it's true. Because I live with women. But for a man, he does one thing at a time. You know, my wife is busy. You know, she's preparing prayer point. She's preparing this. She's doing this. And I'm talking to her. You know, I feel that she's not listening. And I feel, you're not listening to me. Isn't I'm listening? She repeats everything I've said word for word. So I look stupid. I'm like, okay, so you're really listening. Because in my brain, I'm wired that if you're doing one thing at once. Are you understanding me now? So men are different. Men focus on one thing at a time. Man has only one focus, one thing at a time. He can either watch the soccer match between Orlando Pirates and Kaiser Chiefs or talk to you. But he cannot do both of them at the same time. So you're telling him important things when he's watching Orlando Pirates being beaten. I'm a Pirates fan, so let me save Chiefs fans from crying. So he watches Orlando Pirates being beaten, you know, and all of those things. And he's in his head. He's trying to get into the match to score the winning goal. Then you're not telling him there's no bread in the house. You know, when are we fixing the pipe? The toilet is blocked. You're telling him, he's not hearing you. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Know when to speak to him. So you're not telling, did you hear? He said, yes, I heard. It's just, he has to lie for that moment so that he gets you off his back so that he can focus. Men lie, you. Men lie, I tell you. And the reason men lie is because you force them to say things that they shouldn't be saying when they are not focused. And when this difference is demonized, men feel the pressure to lie. So your talking wise is watching the soccer match, and the only thing he hears is, did you hear me? That's the only thing he hears. And he tells you, yes, I hear you. It's just to get you off so that he can focus. Amen. Number three, there is the male brain. Science shows that there is a recognizable difference between a male and a female brain as early as 26 weeks into development. Can you imagine that? As early as 26 weeks into development, there's already a recognizable difference between a male brain and a female brain. Now, this is to say, you see that men do some dumb things sometimes. You ask yourself, how did you do this? Men do dumb things. Look at. The whole place is cold. The whole place is icy. This man is not wearing clothes. He's skating on this ice. And here he is. He falls into the ice. Boom. And if you ask him, why did you do that? Akitibi, I don't know. I just feel like doing it. And the painful part is, a man will watch another man do things like that and never stop him. That's the painful part. Amen. I never get to stop him. Then number four, there is the male needs, which I will not get into. Now, I'm not mentioning all of this to make excuses. Neither am I excusing any man's dysfunction. That's not what I'm doing. But what I'm trying to do here is to help you acquire some understanding so that it can help you with dealing with the men in your life. So number two thing I feel that Adam would have said, I need nurturing, not nagging. We go back to number two. I need nurturing, not nagging. Remember, the number one was Adam said, I am a male, not a female. And under that, we saw four different things. Now, number two, Adam will have said, I need nurturing, not nagging. What is nagging? Oxford language defines nagging as constantly harassing someone to do something. AI overview puts it this way. In a relationship, nagging is a form of communication where one person repeatedly pesters or harasses the other to do something, often about things that have already been discussed, or are not considered essential. It can involve constant reminders, criticism, or scolding. It is generally seen as a negative form of interpersonal communication. Then King Solomon, a man who spent, all his life with 1,000 women, he comes into the picture. He paints a better picture for us. He tells us this, Proverbs 25, verse 24. He says, it is better to live in a corner of the house top on the flat roof, exposed to the weather, than in a house shared with a quarrelsome, contentious woman. A Message translation puts it this way, better to live alone in a tumble down shack than share a mansion with a nagging spouse. Then he comes back to Proverbs 21. He repeats the same thing. He says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop on the flat oriental roof, exposed to all kinds of weather, than in a house shared with a nagging, quarrelsome, fault-finding woman. When there is nagging, the man's palace feels like a prison. When there is nagging, his palace feels like a prison. Because of the barrage of questions and fault finding, he makes him feel like he's under investigation. He makes him feel like he's being interrogated. Women, do you know that sometimes helping can come off as nagging when you do it in an insensitive manner? And sometimes what you don't know is he is hearing you saying that he's stupid. The more you're repeating it, you're scolding him, you're scolding him, you're repeating it, you're repeating, you're fighting, you're repeating, you're harassing him. In his head, he now takes a posture that I will not do it. Amen. You know, some years ago, there was an experience they had. A young man was being disciplined. They whipped him and told him to kneel down. So when he knelt down and raised it, after some time, they noticed that he was just laughing and smiling. So they walked up to him. The adults who told him, said, "Why are you smiling? What's making you smile?" He said, "Because in my heart, I'm standing up." He said, "In my heart, I'm not kneeling down. I'm standing up. In the physique, I'm kneeling down. But in my heart, I'm not kneeling down." He said, "I'm standing up." Did the discipline work? It didn't work. It has created rebellion in his soul. So in his heart, he's not kneeling down. He's standing, even though his physical knees is on the ground. And that's how you end up having such men who, in his heart, he's standing, but his physical knees are on the ground. And I'm not saying that you should not address whatever needs to be addressed, ladies. But how can you speak that truth? How can you address it in a loving manner? How can you speak that same truth in ways that it builds up and doesn't tear down? And some men have checked out of their marriage. So men are so committed to the covenant of marriage, committed to their kids. They are not staying in the marriage because of you. They have checked out. They are just staying there because of their children. Because for often we think that it's only women who check out. Women check out of marriage. The same thing with a man can check out of a marriage. So sometimes you ask yourself, do you want to win the task war and lose your husband, or do you want to find a way to nurture the weaknesses that you are seeing? Do you know that the things he's lacking are the reason why God brought you into his life? That's why God brought you. If he had those things, God wouldn't have brought you in. He said, "I'll make for him a helper suitable for him." Suitable for him. You know, sometimes women come and report their husband and they expect me to fight their husband. If I do that, you're finished. If I don't apply wisdom and win him over, and the way you have come to report, you want me to go and, my sister, you will be in more danger. So by wisdom, I win him over. Be able, because when I know, when he comes close to me, I'm able to speak into his life. Then, whatever needs to happen, God will walk through him. So women have been angry with I and my wife because they came and reported their husband. We didn't kill the man. So they are angry we didn't kill the man. My sister, we won't kill him because you two have problem. You two have problem. It takes two to tango. Amen. Number three, and we go home. Adam will have said, he needs to be appreciated, not just to be admired. Admiration is what is felt. Appreciation is what is expressed. It's Father's Day. How many of you, you know, I've been hearing women, you know, women can argue, women... Jesus. I've been hearing some women fighting. You know, on Mother's Day, he didn't buy me any gift. Me too. I won't buy anything. Two wrongs doesn't make it right. Two wrongs doesn't make it right. He's not my father. He's their father. So the children must buy him, not me. I've been hearing all of that. And I ask myself, what kind of generation of women are this? What's going on here? It's a whole lot, you know. Admiration is what is felt. Appreciation is what is expressed. When you study the miracle of the 10 lepers that were cleansed, only one of them came back to thank Jesus. And Jesus asked a very profound question. He said, "Where are the other nine?" Luke chapter 9, 17, verse 16 to 18. Even Jesus was simply saying, I want you to recognize my contribution in your life to the degree where your appreciation for it expresses itself. Ladies, can I ask you this? Is the problem list longer than the praise list? Is the problem list longer than the praise list? Does he hear only what he is doing wrong and never what he's doing right? You know, many men are suffering from feelings of lack of appreciation. We had our men's breakfast some time ago. I was shocked when we're having discussion how all the men, not one was missing. Every man said their challenge is their wives doesn't appreciate them. Their wife never says thank you. I was shocked. And that's when I knew appreciation has to be expressed. I understand. Men can be a handful. Ladies, don't misunderstand. I understand. I'm a man myself. I'm a handful to my wife. You know, it takes patience to deal with us. But women also are a handful. You too, you're a handful. You are a handful. Some of you, you're not marriage material. You writing it doesn't make you one. You, if you like, you take all the selfies and do all the, you know, all the, what do you call it now? All the filters, and you filter everything and you put marriage material. You marry yourself. You marry yourself. Which marriage material? Because you filter, that makes you marriage material. You go and do new Brazilian hair, you see what a marriage material. Nala, you're not one. You're not one. The same way men are a handful, women are a handful. And we need to begin to come to that place where we understand this. And as we all lean on the grace of God to help us. One of the things, so many years ago, the first 2 years of our marriage was turbulent. And one of our mentors said to my wife, allow him to grow the same way you need to grow. That statement changed her forever. Say, allow him to grow. Say, you too need to grow. Ladies, have you ever said thank you to your spouse for being patient with you? I see the way some of you fight in the church here. I always say, hey, your husband is in trouble. Some of you, the things you do in the church and I observe from far, I get to say, my wife, hey, this man, whoever married this one, is in trouble. Because if you can fight strangers you don't know like that, how much more the one you live in the same house with? If you're that stubborn to a stranger you don't know, imagine the one you live in the same house with. The same way men are a handful, women are a handful. We are all a work in progress. We all submit to the loving hands of the Almighty God so that he continues to chisel us, continues to deal with us. And when a man refuses to be dealt with, we deal with him as well. Yesterday, one of the beauty with our men's breakfast is we deal with hardcore issue. Because we believe men must rise. But at the same time, sisters, what are your contribution in terms of helping that man become what God has called him to be? Have you ever said thank you? Have you ever said thank you? Have you ever said thank you? And I'm not saying that women, you know, are not doing anything, no. But it's still okay to say thank you. Why? Men hang out where they are appreciated. You know, the book of Psalms tells us that God inhabits in the praises of his people. And some of you, one thing you must understand is you don't have a perfect man, but you have a good man. You don't have a perfect man, but you have a good man. I celebrate Jesus for that good man he has given to you. You don't have a perfect man. No man is perfect. But there are good men out there. And some of you ladies, you raise good sons. That boy is not giving you any trouble. Say thank you. Just because he didn't make his bed, you're fighting him, you're doing everything. And yet that boy, you know, he's 18 years now, 19 years now, he has never brought you pain. That boy has never been a burden to you. His mates are into drugs, all kinds of things, but that boy is not. The best, the least you can do is pull him close and say, thank you. Thank you for being a good son. Thank you. I've not have to worry, you know, over the things that other mothers are worrying about. I've not had to be called. The police have arrested you. Thank you. You will have to go home and say thank you to that boy. Because if you feel you didn't raise a good son, it's fine. But if you know you've raised a good son, go say thank you. Many men, their soul looks like a desert. But because they don't express themselves verbally, you don't know. Listen, I close with this statement. When a man is empty, he either goes the way of anger and violence or he goes silent. When a man is empty, one out of these two happens. He either goes the way of anger and violence or he goes silent. Hallelujah. Were you blessed this morning? Let's rise on our feet and let's go home. And I want to speak to men. You feel misunderstood. I want you to run to Jesus. Listen, every man needs to run to Jesus. You don't run to pornography. You don't run to alcohol. You run to Jesus. Hear me, man. You don't run to anything other than Jesus. Pornography won't help. Alcohol won't help. Run to Jesus. You feel nobody's hearing you? Jesus will hear. The four lepers took their friend and lowered him before the master. And the master healed him. And I pray for healing over every man. Pray for healing over every woman. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I declare right now, let healing take place. Let understanding come. In the name of Jesus, let's lift our voices and let's give God praise. Let's thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.